Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for praying with me when I had my time in Haiti. Had 2 weeks with the family there, and the Lord undertook, and I appreciate your prayer for me. Actually, I'd like to speak a little bit about Dave and Ginger's work in Haiti this evening, and I have some slides I'd like to show to help you to see some of these people that Dave and Ginger have talked about when they've come. That's for tonight. But for this morning, well, Christmas is over, isn't it? But BBN keeps saying, Christmas is over, but don't let Jesus get away from you. And so it's time, really, for a sequel to the Christmas story. And there is a sequel to the Christmas story, you know. When God sent His Son to earth, He wanted to make sure that everybody knew that His Son was born. Now, you remember the announcement that was made to the shepherds? And the shepherds went around and spread it abroad, telling all the people they knew, all the ordinary people, about the coming of the Christ child. Then later on, the Magi came and spoke to King Herod. And so the royal court was told about it. And of course, because they were asked where the child should be born, the high priests and the scribes knew about it also. But that didn't take care of everybody. There was another group of faithful believers that needed to be told. As you read through the Bible, you're impressed with the fact that no matter how serious the apostasy, the Lord always had a believing remnant, a faithful few that trusted Him, read His Word, believed it, and sought to please Him. And that was true at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. There were Jews who were believers who trusted the Lord to bring about the salvation that He promised, and they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. They'd read such passages as was read this morning earlier in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 40, prophesying comfort to come through the Messiah. In Isaiah 42 and 49, that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles. In Isaiah 46, Israel, my glory. And Isaiah 52, the fact that all flesh would see the salvation of our God. They read that, they believed it, they were looking for the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. They were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, the coming of the Messiah. Now, it'd be interesting to read what one of these faithful ones had to say. One of these who was looking for the Messiah. And I'd like to read what he had to say. And of course, that person is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He was dumb. He was struck dumb because he didn't receive with belief the announcement of the birth of a son. But as soon as he could talk again, he praised the Lord. And this is in Luke chapter 1, of course, from reading from verse 68. Here's his understanding of the consolation of Israel as he had understood it from the scripture. Verse 68 of chapter 1 of Luke. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. They understood the salvation that God would bring. It would be political deliverance, yes, as they talk about in verse 74, delivered from the hand of our enemies, but also it would be spiritual salvation, as mentioned in verse 77, give the knowledge of salvation of his people by the remission of their sins. And they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. This group also needed to be told that Messiah is born. And God made that announcement. And it was done for his people in the sequel to Christmas. The account given in Luke chapter 2 of the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple. That's the story that also gives a challenge for us as we look not only behind to remember, we can't forget Jesus coming from Christmas, but also as we look ahead to year 2002 before us. And we find challenge from this story, for us in the year ahead. So let's take a look at the story and then recognize the challenge. Let's read the account in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The account begins with the record of the fact that Jesus' family was anxious to obey the law of the Lord. So when 8 days had transpired, according to the Leviticus, they came for the circumcision ceremony. Now remember, Leviticus made it quite clear that at the 8th day, the child was to be circumcised. If a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. They read it. They believed it. They took their baby at 8 days and went to the authorities for the circumcision ceremony. And of course, at that particular time, it was time for the naming of the baby as well. There was no hesitation. The name had been given to Mary by the announcement. In the announcement of the angel announced the birth of Christ. The name had been given to Joseph when the angel talked to him. So together they chorused, "His name is Jesus." There was no problem. Remember when John the Baptist was named John, the people objected. But there was no objection at this point to the name Jesus because it was quite common. And somehow they didn't get the full significance of that name as it had been given to Joseph. So the baby was named, was circumcised, and they went back to the house they were staying in Bethlehem and waited for another 33 days because there was still something else that needed to come as Leviticus gave the announcement. And that Leviticus 12 and 4, 6 to 8. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and one as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Joseph and Mary knew that, and they waited their time. And 40 days after the birth of Christ, they brought him to the temple to take care of this rite of purification. We notice that Leviticus says, bring a lamb. In Luke, they brought two young birds. And that was the indication that they were not well enough off to be able to offer the lamb that was required. But they had the offering that was permitted, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. This is purification for Mary, and it came at the same time that there was the presentation of child Jesus in the temple, because there was also the requirement that the first male child should be presented to the Lord, reminding of the time of the Passover, the time that Israel came out of Egypt when all the firstborn of the enemy, of the Egyptians, were killed. So we find that Mary and Joseph were very careful to perform all that the law demanded. They knew their baby was special. They knew that, and they wanted to make sure they did everything just right. As they were there in the temple presenting the infant Jesus, an elderly gentleman came in, a gentleman with the air of a prophet of the Lord. His name was Simeon, which means listening. He came in and saw the couple before him. And he'd been told ahead of time that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And he came in by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so when he saw the couple there with the child in their arms, he knew immediately why the Spirit had brought him into the temple. This was the Messiah. With trembling hands from emotion, he reached out and took the child from Mary, his mother, and cradled him in his own arm. And looking down at him, he looked with all the admiration possible of one who realizes the significance of this particular little baby. And the only thing he could think of was, here is the Messiah. The Lord is starting to answer prayer of his faithful. He's starting to fulfill the promise that he's given of the coming of the consolation of Israel. This little baby, the Messiah, is here because of God's faithfulness. Faithfulness to fulfill his promise, and faithfulness to fulfill the promise that was made to Simeon himself about seeing the Messiah. So he burst out in praise. And then, after he said, "Praise the Lord," he burst out in song. And that song is called today in Latin, Nunc Dimittis, from the first words of what he had to say. And we might paraphrase his song something like this. Sovereign Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, just as you have said. For with mine own eyes I have seen your salvation in the person of this child. The salvation which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, the Savior you have given to all people, a light to bring revelation of you and your plan to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel, a source of renown for your people, and the revelation of your qualities for them. He was overcome with the truth of the faithfulness of God and what this baby was going to be able to do. Joseph and Mary were standing there, and they were listening to all that he said. But they weren't just listening. Their mind was going back into the scriptures that they had learned. They remembered Isaiah 52, 9 and 10. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Yes, what Simeon had said went right along with that. They also remembered Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, speaking of the servant of Jehovah. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Yes, that fit in with what Simeon had said. They would also have remembered Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. They remembered these things. They recognized that Simeon had referred to them. And they marveled. You see, this baby that was then in Simeon's arms was special. They'd known that because Mary had been told that he would be called the Son of God, that he would be the Messiah, he would be the King of Israel in David's succession. And also, the shepherds had brought the word that this one was the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. She had known that, and it all came back to her. But she saw that on, Joseph and Mary both saw that on top of this, this baby was to be a light to the Gentiles. He was to bring salvation to the non-Jews, to all the world. And then also, he would be glory for his people, Israel. He would bring a revelation of the perfections of God And he would be a source of renown for the Israelite people. Mary and Joseph saw it. They recognized the truth. It was scriptural, but it was amazing. They marveled at what was to be the future of this child. And while they were marveling over this prospect, Simeon proceeded to bless the child and to bless them, calling upon the favor of God, the grace of God, to help them in the tasks they had of raising this child for him, of preparing him for the ministry that had been prophesied. And then Simeon spoke again to give the prophecy of the divine destiny of this child. And that's in verse 34. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. His destiny included blessing for many Israelites and judgment for others, depending upon their reaction to the message he would bring. Also, he was to be himself a sign that would show the need for salvation and at the same time the way of salvation. And yes, and there would have to be a decision made about how that sign would be taken. So it would be spoken against by those who would reject the sign and its significance. And the purpose of his ministry would be to reveal the thoughts, the secret thoughts of men that they had toward God himself. And yes, there would be agony and distress for Mary herself because of the opposition to the Messiah's message. As we think back over the life of Christ and the experience he had with the opposition, we realize that Mary could have had no greater agony than the moment she had when she saw him hanging on the cross. Certainly, that part of the agony is included in this prophecy, although there is no direct reference here to the cross of Christ, to his death. But Mary was warned that she would have agony as she looked at her son as he was carrying out the responsibility that was given him, even as Simeon had given all of that reference in the beginning. It's interesting to note there's no reference here to Joseph, to what Joseph might feel, to what Joseph might do. None at all. That may sound strange, but then we remember also that as we go through the account of Jesus' ministry, there is no reference to Joseph there either. So, apparently he wasn't around at the time of Jesus' ministry. And perhaps that would account for the fact that there's no reference here to Joseph himself. But as Simeon was holding the child, as he had given his song of praise to God for what he was doing and what the child would do, as he prophesied the divine destiny of the child, there was another person that came in, somebody that's close to our hearts, all of us here at Park of the Palms, an octogenarian named Anna. She came into the temple also and sized up the situation. She was one who was normally in the temple because her occupation as an octogenarian was fasting and prayer. And she was also looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was one of the faithful. And as she sized up the situation, she realized, this is the Messiah. And her first reaction was to praise the Lord, to thank Him, because He was beginning to respond to her prayers for the coming of the Messiah. And the salvation of the Lord was beginning in the person of this child. She thanked God for answered prayer. She thanked God for keeping to His word, His faithfulness. And then also, she realized, hey, this news is too good to hold to myself. And she rushed right off to tell all the people in Jerusalem she could. All those whom she knew, and she knew that they were the believers, the faithful remnant, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah too. So she went to tell them everywhere about that. I remember our first Christmas in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We were at a station called Ikoko, and the pastor there was named Pastor Zachariah. He happened to preach on this particular passage at that time, at least the part concerning Anna. And he was thrilled with the fact, here we have an octogenarian who learned about Christ, who saw Him, and she didn't keep still. She ran up and told everybody about it. And Africans aren't restrained as we are in the pulpit. They're active. And he really acted out that whole situation. And he repeated over and over his message. She went out to tell everybody. Here was an 80-year-old woman going out to tell everybody. And it wasn't just in his message either. Other times during that week, he would say, you know, there was an 80-year-old woman, and she went out and told everybody about Christ. I tell you, it was something, wasn't it? But Anna was one of the faithful, and she was glad to do that for her Lord. Well, there's our story, the story of the sequel to Christmas. What's the challenge in it for us? I think we could say at least four things, or many could be said. But the first thing that strikes us is the attitude that should be ours as we go into the new year. Because Simeon and Anna were both taken with praise for the Lord. So our attitude should be one of praise to God. We should never tire of praising Him because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm taking a page out of Jim Harvey's book, because he says we should never tire of thanking God for Christ and for our salvation. And if you were here Thursday night, you remember how he began his prayer. And we recognize that this is part of our relationship to the Lord, to give Him the due praise. So our attitude should be that of praise to the Lord as we go into this new year. That's the first thing we'd say. Second thing, our priority would be to maintain an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as soon as I say that, of course, I'm assuming that there is already a relationship with Him, that the recognition has come that God had salvation for the Gentiles, for us, as well as for the Jews, and that we've accepted Christ as Savior. And once that relationship is established, it should be nurtured, because Simeon and Anna had that close, intimate relationship with the Lord. And if you're thinking about motivation for reading through the Bible in this year, well, Simeon's knowledge of Scripture should provide that motivation. If you're thinking about encouragement that your prayer life might continue and increase, well, Anna's example would give us that encouragement. And these would all involve of our leading us to worship and more time in fellowship with the Lord. And really, we don't know what 2002 is going to bring to us. We know that 2001 brought some disaster for the country. But we do know
that we'll have perspective on whatever happens to us if we're able to keep that intimate relationship with the Lord.
If John Gilbert were here, he would say yes to that, because he's always reminding us that nothing happens to us, to the Christian, except what, unless it has been filtered through the love of God. Everything that happens to us, he will work in some way to bring out for our good. And that perspective will help us through the new year. Then the third thing is that we recognize from the example of Simeon our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. It was upon him. It guided him into the temple. It helped him to understand what his blessing would be in seeing the Messiah. And we realize that if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord in this year ahead, it will only be through the work of the Holy Spirit. We have dependence upon him we need. And there's a fourth point here also, our mission. Anna went out and told all the believers about the coming of Christ. And that's the point of our responsibility too, of telling others. Not only believers to encourage them in Christ's coming, but also the unbelievers, that they might know their need for salvation. And really, you know, this is a missionary message. Did you realize that? It's a missionary. Yes! You better say amen. It's a missionary message. And that responsibility is before us. And remember, missions is not a responsibility for some, but for all. Some, the Lord says, you go. Others, the Lord says, you pray. And others, he says, you pay. And it's all there. So, I'm sorry, Abe's not here to give the challenge, because he gives a better missionary challenge than I can give. But there it is in the text. It's a challenge for our looking to help in the Lord's work, the ends of the earth. And that's one of the reasons why I want to tell you something about what David and Ginger are doing tonight. But may the Lord help us then as we face 2002, that it might be with a recognition of our attitude, praise to the Lord for the Messiah, our priority of an intimate relationship with the Lord, our dependence on the work of the Holy Spirit, and our mission to tell others about Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this little story of a sequel to the Christmas story. We thank thee for thy love and care for these believers who needed to know about the coming of the Messiah, and the marvelous way in which thou dost accomplish it, that these who had knew the Scripture and could recognize what was happening should get that news as well. Thank thee, Father, because it confirms in our own hearts that this baby that was born was indeed and is the Messiah, thy Son and our Lord. Help us as we would seek to live out before thee this year the things that they taught us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.